If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch, move, and minister in this house. God, touch us with your glory and move on us with your power. And God, use me tonight as an oracle of your divine presence, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look her right now and say, "Hey, God wants to bless you tonight." Now, church, I know this is Sunday night. You know, I had one guy told me Sunday night was a throwaway service. You just had it because folks wanted to have it. If that's what we're doing, I just didn't throw it away. Oh, I mean, I'm not coming here just so we can say we had church. I come to have church. Now, that means you've got to get the frame of mind. You're going to come let God bless you. And you know what you need to do? You need to realize that the message I have is for this congregation. So don't sit there musing who ought to be here going, "They ought to hear that." Glory. They that God wanted to hear it sitting right here. Hello? Glory. Amen. Paul made the statement. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Amen. He said, "I have not arrived yet. I have not achieved what I came to achieve." Hadn't got. Can you imagine? This guy was raised a Pharisee of Pharisees, and yet he turned around and said, after all these years of ministry, in one of the last nights he was alive on this earth, he said, "I still ain't got there." So next time you think you've arrived, realize you ain't got there. You know, I used to get so excited about it. I'd go to church, and people would get up, and they'd say, "I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven." One lady said, "Ain't got them desires I used to have." And I'm going, whoa, I want to get there because I still had them desires. Hello? Then I found out they're lying. Uh-oh, y'all say, "Well, preacher, that if you don't tell the truth, what are you doing?" Okay. And she had them desires because she left her husband a few months later with them desires she couldn't control. Hello? But we used to have folks give, "I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven." One of the greatest nights of my life when Miss Daisy Chanel got up, 90-something years old, said, "Y'all pray for me. The devil's been attempting me." And I went, "Thank God I'm not the only one." Glory. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I was kind of glad to know. Of course, I walked up to her after church. I said, "Miss Daisy, what's the devil tempt you with?" She said, "I ain't going to tell you." I said, "Why?" She said, "He's listening." Now, that made sense to me. But I really want to know what the devil could tempt a 92-year-old woman with. Amen. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, he can do it. He can make our life miserable whenever he takes a notion to do so. And so we need to understand that. But now, I want to talk to you about something tonight. See, everybody wants a ministry. We've gotten so bad wanting ministry, we started making ministry out of a thing. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, "Yeah, I'm the minister of garbage collection at my church." Now, church, I want to tell you something. Garbage collection is not a ministry. That's just like me saying, "Hey, if you see a piece of paper on the floor, pick it up. You ain't got to pray about it. If you see a piece of paper on the floor, pick it up, put it in a garbage can." You know, that's not something you got to make a spiritual thing out of. But everybody wants a ministry, so I've got a ministry for you tonight. Because notice what Paul made the statement. He said, "This one thing I do." Let me just add a little inflection here. "This one thing I do for me." Paul's not doing it for the church. He's not doing it for anybody else. He's not trying to help somebody else get somewhere. He is in a hole in the ground, transcribing out to talking to a guy outside that's writing this down for him because he's in a Mormon time prison. And he said, this one thing I'm going to do for myself, forgetting about the past. Now, I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments on the ministry of forgettery. Amen. What y'all look at me like that for? You know what that means, don't you? Y'all had that in school, didn't you? Amen. Huh? Does anybody know what forgettery is? It is right the opposite of memory. Now, memory is the ability you have to recall the past. Some people have forgettery and don't mean to. Glory. But it can be a practice that you can have as a Christian that will make you a better Christian. Forgettery is the ability to forget things in the past. Amen. And you say, well, now, preacher, where is that at in the dictionary? It didn't got there yet. I just made it up for this sermon. Glory. Hello? Don't look at me like that. You young men realize when you need words, you can make them up. That's how the words got there. Amen. You know, the English language didn't have all them words till somebody made them up. And we get our words from other things. You know, dunamis in Latin means explosive power. We took that word, flipped around, got in English, come out dynamite. Glory. Amen. But that word had to be coined, or there wouldn't be no word dynamite. Amen. So, you know, 20 years from now, they're going to be talking about forgettery. Instead of saying they got some kind of memory problem, say, well, all they got forgettery. Amen. Glory. It'll be a common word. And you can tell everybody it started in my church. Glory. Glory. Smile. Some of y'all are still sitting, well, this guy's crazy. I'm certifiable. I don't have a problem with that. But the reality is that we need those kind of ministries. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Paul said, this one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget about the past. Why? Because there's nothing I can do about it, and it's not going to do anything but cause me problems, cause me trial, cause me turmoil, cause me disturbances in my mind and in my heart. What I'm going to do is get rid of it, and then I'm going to do what? I'm going to turn my attention to the future, and I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Could you say amen? Praise God. Now, church, there are some things I want to remember. I mean, let's face it. If I've got memories that bring back joy to me, I don't want to forget those things. I want to remember them the rest of my life. I want to be able to call them back up and enjoy them. Amen. And just enjoy the day. But there are some things in my past I don't want to remember. Hello? We was about a month or so ago, I was in Gadsden, and I was doing a funeral with my uncle. And we were all sitting around talking to him. My cousin looked up and he said, hey, you remember that time you locked me in that building and left me? And I said, He said, you don't? I said, He said, why? I said, because I don't remember what happened when I got caught for locking you in that building. Hello? Y'all may not have had a grandma like I did, but Mamie was a ninja before there ever was a ninja. She found out I locked that boy in that thing. They liked to never find the key, and she thought she wasn't going to find the key, and she was upset because her grandson was in there. I was her grandson too, but he was her favorite. Next thing I know, I'm getting body chopped and slammed and popped and kicked. And she said, I can't believe you did that. Y'all said, that's abuse. Not her. She called it enforcement. Hello? You kids got it made. There wasn't no 911 when we was kids. It was invented later. My mama figured whatever's in her hand was perfect for an instrument to carry out whatever she wanted. Fly swatters, drop cord, a broom. Some of y'all remember the story. 18 years old, my mom knocked me out with a broom. What was even bad was when my dad woke me up, he whipped me for making my mama hit me with a broom. Oh, had a guy tell me, if I was 18 years old, my daddy wouldn't whip me. I said, yeah, he would have too, because if he didn't whip you with a razor strap, it'd been with his fist. And that strap hurt, but not half as bad as his fist would have. Glory. Hello? You know, somebody said, well, that's child abuse. Now he figured I was 18. Hello? But there are things I want to remember. I've told you the story about the hot dogs. Me and my brothers come in, found them, and ate them. My dad said, and ate one. He said, you boys in trouble. I said, why? He said, your mama fixed them for the ladies at the church. We thought she fixed them of us. There was 48 hot dogs, and there was four of us. We thought she knew we was coming. Amen. I jumped in the truck, took off down to the store, got ham and bread, come back, made ham cheese sandwiches, and cut them in half, said, look good, stuck them in the oven, let them get warm. Mama come in and she said, yeah, I've got ham and cheese sandwiches. She looked down the hall, and I'm like, it's a miracle. Glory. Those are things you want to remember. But there are things in my past that is best for me to get out of my mind and to forget. Could you say amen? And this is a ministry I can do for myself. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? First of all, I must forget what others have done to me. Matthew 6:14. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Notice this, said if we pray, God will forgive us of what things we have against others. But if we don't forgive them, then we can't expect God to forgive us. Hello? In other words, if all I can do is sit around and hold a grudge against somebody, I can't expect God to forgive me for things in my life if I'm still holding something against somebody else. Brother Rex Taylor used to make this statement. He said, I'd rather try to get to heaven with a bottle of whiskey in both back pockets as a grudge against somebody, because he said, I can drop the bottles, but I can't get forgiveness later. Hello? And I know somebody did you wrong, but is it worth your eternal joy? Is it worth all the things? Come on, church, smile. Y'all look at me like, whoa. Listen, this is a reality. This is what we need in the church. We need to understand that if we can't forgive, we will never get forgiveness. But if we can let it go. Amen. A few months ago, we had a preacher here. He said, it's time to move on. It's time to let it go. It's time some of us got beyond some of this junk we keep holding in our brain and say it ain't worth it. I don't care what he did to me. I don't care. Come on, church. Well, she broke up with me. You ought to thank her so you can find a real woman. Glory. Hello? I got a little bit of a reaction. I don't know what it was about. But listen, Matthew chapter 18. And then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Hello? You know, church, we need to realize that if we forgive people, amen. You say, it's hard to do. I agree. One of the greatest hurts I've ever had in my life was somebody that I was very close to who hurt me and meant to do it. Y'all met that person. If you were around me and him today, you'd never know anything happened. You know why? It wasn't worth the problems it was going to cause me to hold it against him. Hello? Come on, church. And say, well, what'd he do? He tried to destroy me. Done everything he could. Called and actually told lies about me. And what was really worse was the day I found out about it, I walk in the house. It's about 10:30, 11 o'clock. I get to the house and my wife looks at me and said, hey, by the way, so-and-so said, tell you he loved you. I've just been hearing all afternoon where he was trying to destroy me. Hello? And what brought it on, he got mad because I wouldn't help him do something he wanted done. And that was what made him turn on me. That's all it took. It was somebody I thought was my father. I treated him like a dad. You know what? Today, I still treat him like a dad. I just don't give him the inner closeness that I used to. But I don't hold against him what he did. You know why? Because I realized he was going home and sleeping real good about it. I was the one laying awake thinking about it. And I let it go. You know why? It wasn't worth it. Because now I don't have to worry about it. You know, he tried, but he didn't accomplish what he was after. He thought he was going to throw some kind of curve at me. But the truth of the matter is, God just took it to make it a better situation for me. And what we've got to realize is when we let it go, that's usually what happens. Could you say amen? What about the guy that was forgiven his debt? Walked outside, saw somebody owed him money, was going out and put in jail because they hadn't paid him. Hello? He got forgiveness for something a whole lot worse than what this person owed him for, but he's going to have them put in jail because of it. It's in your Bible, church. Amen. Listen, Matthew chapter 18:35. so likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brethren their trespasses. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father which also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. Listen, Luke 17. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Do you realize the act of forgiveness is necessary to receive from God? Amen. You say, now, preacher, what are you talking about? Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Amen. I hope he's got that one up there. Good. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest thy brother hath aught against thee, next verse, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? He said, you come to the altar, and you're seeking something from God, and you remember there's a problem between you and somebody else. You know what you do? You go to that person and say, hey, we need to make it right. Because if we don't, I can't be blessed, and you can't be blessed. But if we'll make it right, we both can go back to that altar and receive from God that God's trying to do in our life. Could you say amen to that, church? We need to understand that's what it's all about. If I forgive, then I have a right to come to God saying, wait a minute, everything in my heart's clean. I got a right to believe you are going to bless me. Could you say amen? Glory. Amen. So therefore, we have to live in a place where we understand that it is important. Listen, I was preaching revival at a church. I won't call the name of the church. I almost did, but I caught myself. The pastor was probably one of the most successful pastors the Church of God in Alabama had. As far as I was concerned, every time I preached for him, his church was always ready for revival. They always had a good move of God. And for some reason, this particular week, I got there on Sunday night, started a revival. And we'd gone through Friday night, and I'm talking about it was deader than midnight in the middle of the winter storm. I mean, it was just... And I got to noticing that when church let out, this side went out that door, that side went out that door, and never the twain did meet. And on Friday night, I come to find out that the guy sitting on this side that was kin to everybody on this side of the church had fired the guy sitting over here who was kin to everybody on that side of the church. And he was upset because that guy fired him, but the truth of the matter was, he did what the guy fired him for. The dilemma I had, both of them were friends of mine. One of them's actually a distant cousin. And everybody on that side was actually kin to me in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But what was even worse, one of them worked for this old sausage and bacon and ribs. And I never preached in the area I didn't get a box with ribs and bacon and sausage. And we're right in the middle of trying to have a revival in that place dead at midnight because these two guys are both messed up. And I went over and I sat down beside one of them. I said, hey, dude, you know I love you. Something going on. He said, not my fault. I said, well, I don't understand. So I'm trying to pray with some people in the altar, and there was a little girl down there, and I knew she wasn't saved. I'm not guessing. I knew she wasn't saved. It's not a spiritual thing. I knew her. She's one of them people who was on this side that was kin to me. And I slid up beside her, and I said, sweetheart, don't you know you need to give your heart to God? She said, if my daddy's a Christian, I got it made. I said, what are you talking about? She said, he's the one that got the church split. I said, really? She said, yeah. And then she told me what was going on. Pastor ain't told me nothing. I walked back over, sat down beside her dad, and I said, you know, I just had revealed to me. I'm not going to say God did it. But your daughter down there talking about she wants to get saved, but she figured if you're saved, she got it made. I said, is it really worth whatever you're putting this church through just to prove your point? He looked at me sort of funny. I said, I want you to know I love you, but you're probably going to bust hell wide open, so I probably won't see you no more after tonight. I walked off. I started to cross. The other guy jumped up and he said, by the way, I got that box of stuff out there for you. Don't leave tonight till you get it. He said, and also, I started working some for Dank's Hams, and there's a couple of them in there. And I went, you probably won't give them to me. He said, why? I said, because I got to be honest with you. You and that fellow over yonder have split this church, and I just don't know if you even saved anymore. He looked at me and said, well, wait a minute, it's his fault. I said, really doesn't matter. All that matters is these altars are blocked up because of y'all, and we need to see a move of God. And we got kids up there that need to get saved, and they can't pray because of what's going on in the church. And I said, there may be other people with needs in their lives that need something to happen. And I said, it can't happen because this is going on. I went on back up to the altar, started praying. I'm thinking, well, here went my box of food. Oh, hello? Y'all may not understand, but them little helpful boxes when I was evangelizing was helpful. Oh. And about that time, I heard people in the crowded place start crying. I turned around and looked, and there was Lamar and Charlie hanging all over each other right in the middle of the church. Pastor over on the other side in the floor laying on his face crying. Holy Ghost got to moving. We had like 7-8 people got saved that night. Amen. Pastor got up. He had a letter in his hand. It was a letter of resignation. He was fixing to leave the church and said, I done felt like I failed God. Didn't know if I'd even try to get another church. And he stood there and ripped that church up, that letter up in front of the church. And he said, I believe tonight God has assured me that he is still on the throne and everything's going to be all right. Do you know after that, that church actually built a new sanctuary and doubled in attendance because suddenly those two men went to work for God and the pastor and all got on the same page and God began to move. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When once we realize that it's not worth it, amen, God can begin to move. Could you say amen? Praise God. Amen. Number two, you must forgive myself for what I have done in the past. Paul writing this said, this one thing I'm going to do, forgetting about the past. Do y'all understand the past he had? Before he became a Christian, you know what he did for a living? He killed Christians. Listen to what he tells us in Galatians chapter 1 verse 13. If you've heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now, those of you who don't understand, wasted, that's a mafia term for killed it. He said, I was doing the best I could to kill every Christian I could get my hands on. And you know what? I believe Paul, after he got saved, had to forgive himself about all those kids he heard crying while their mom and dad was being stoned to death just because they were Christians, or the wives crying because their husband, who was the breadwinner, was being stoned to death because he took a stand for Christianity. And Paul said, I had to forgive myself of that, or I could have never slept. I could have never done it. Can I tell you, some of you need to get over what you did before you got saved and realize that if it's under the blood, it's gone. It's not coming back. It's not there for the devil to use against you. Do not be tormented with it anymore. Could you say amen? Woo. The fact that I'm forgiven by the grace of God is so simple that sometimes we have a hard time really experiencing and accepting the fact that our sins are gone. Amen. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Great thing about the scriptures, it points out point blank, my sins are gone. Amen. There's an old song in the hymnal, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Amen. I quoted that at the church one night. A fella come up to me after church. He said, you quoted something ain't scripture. I said, what's that? He said, you said my sins into the depth of the sea. That's in that song. It ain't in scripture. I said, yes, it is. He said, if it's in scripture, I'll buy you the best steak they got in Jasper, Alabama. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, tonight? He said, just as soon as church is over. I said, like my medium. Baked potato salad with ranch dressing. I'll be there in 20 minutes after we leave. He said, what are you talking about? I said, Micah chapter 7, verse 19. For he shall turn, he shall take our iniquities, he shall cast them into the depth of the sea. He looked at me, he said, I should have known better. Went out the door. Amen. That's a good steak. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We need to understand our sins are gone. And once they're gone, we don't let the devil torment us anymore. Did y'all know who Lester Sumrall was? Great man of God. He was a guy that kind of mentored Rod Parsley. And Parsley said they were in Africa running a crusade one time. And they were in a bed. And said all of a sudden he woke up and he said, now I'm a young preacher. Now, church, you got to understand something. If you're a young preacher, get around some of them older preachers who are really connected, you'd have some weird stuff happen. I remember my early ministry hanging around Perry Stone. I told him one time, I said, dude, you freak a guy out when some of the junk goes on around you. Glory. I'd hate to know what it'd be like to hang around Floyd Lahan in some of them situations. But Rod Parsons said, I wake up in the middle of the night and said, the bed is shaking that Lester Sumrall's in. Said, I'm thinking he's having chills. Then I realized this is just a bed bouncing on the floor. And he said, suddenly he sat up. And he said, what do you want? He said, I thought he was talking to me. And then I realized he's talking out the window. And he said, he hears a voice. And he said, nobody in the room but me and him. But this voice speaks back and says, I come to condemn you of your sins. He said he stole and blowed the light out. The only light we had in the room. He said, now I'm in pitch darkness. And I hear him roll over on the bed going, shut up and get out of here. They're under the blood. I'm through with you. Glory. And said, all of a sudden the curtain started moving and you could hear the rustle of wind as things started leaving the room. And he said, about that time, Lester Sumrall set up, lit the lamp, said, hey, get back in and put my bed back where it belongs, you idiot, and leave me alone. Glory. He said, then he blew the light out, went back to sleep, and he said that bed bounced right back into the corner where it used to be. And the same wind went back out of the room. He said, I sat there the rest of the night. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Where would he have been if his sins were not under the blood? If they had not been forgiven? If he did not know it was there? Church, some of you are letting Satan torment you with things that happened years ago. If it's under the blood, it's not there anymore. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And that is the third point. I need to accept the forgiveness of God. Paul said, I'm doing this for myself, not for anybody else. Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Romans chapter 4 said, even as David also described the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man in whom God will not impute sin. Glory. Hello? Paul said it this way in the book of Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Psalms 51 and 9, David said, hide thy face from my sin and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Amen. And then 103rd Psalm, David said, for as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is the mercy toward them that fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed my transgressions from us. Now, you know, church, there's a reason he chose that. If he took them and went north and south, and you passed the North Pole, you're headed south. So eventually you'd catch up with your sins. Because when you hit the South Pole, you start back north. Have you ever known if you go east, you don't ever quit going east? You can circle Earth 500 times, you're still going east because there's no turning point. What that means is that once he threw your sins, they ain't got a place to turn around. They're not going to come back and start back west. If you send them to the east, they're going to keep going east. If you send them to the west, it's an infinity. They're not turning around and they're not coming back. Your sins are gone. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise be unto God. We need to understand that that is where we are. Amen. Thanks be unto God that God, though he did not deserve it, took his son and made his son. He who knew no sin became sin that we might then be the righteousness of God in him. And because of that, my sins are gone. Could you say amen? And we need to grab a hold of that and say, wait a minute. I'm not bound by what used to be. My past is gone. I'm letting it go. Tonight, I'm going to find the joy of knowing that yesterday doesn't exist anymore. There's only tomorrow. And tomorrow is a day that God hath created for me. Could you stand with me all over the house? Paul said, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to get rid of my past in my own mind. Things that we have done to others, things that we have done to ourselves, things that we have done to God, we need to let them go so that God can give us a peace that passes all understanding, a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I am free. The hold Satan had on me, he don't have anymore. That bondage is gone, and I've been set free by the blood of Calvary. Kind of got mad one time at Alcoholics Anonymous. Matter of fact, he invited me not to ever come back. Was I up there talking about being delivered and being set free and being delivered from alcohol? And he said, oh, you're an alcoholic forever. I said, no. All things passed away. All things become new, sir. I'm not an alcoholic. Amen. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, yeah, you are. You just don't want to admit it. You know, I got to where every time I'd see him in the mall in Tuscaloosa or somewhere I'd pass him and say, hey, still ain't no alcoholic. Glory. Amen. Glory. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? If I find Jesus and God forgives me and I turn my life over to him, then he who the Son of God hath made free is free indeed. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word, for your power, for your grace. God, I believe you to reach down and touch tonight in this house every life, every soul, every spirit, every heart. Father God, I know your power is sufficient tonight. And God, I know you sent me to talk to somebody. Somebody who can't let go of yesterday. They're holding on to a hurt that's not doing anything but hurting more. And they're hanging on to things that they've been delivered of, and they're letting themselves be beaten by the powers of this world when they should not be doing, because they've been set free. Father God, I believe you right now. Give us peace tonight. Set somebody free tonight, God, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah.